Yeah, that's right.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live.
This is live recording, but not when people are listening.
Well, we do have, on my end at least, a live studio audience. Make some noise. So, thank you. We are talking tonight about a show called Workin' Moms. And I didn't drop the G, just as a personal decision. It is called Workin' apostrophe Moms. And, Krista, have you heard of this show, Workin' Moms?
Yeah, I did hear. I've heard of this show. It's a Netflix
original. It's not.
It
isn't, actually.
Oh!
We can go into that later.
I'm a little bit shocked right now. I was under the assumption always that it was a Netflix show. I had heard of it because of Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it on there. It's popped up on, like, things that, you know, it's recommended for me. It's something that I figured, maybe at some point I'd watch, but I wasn't, like, it's not, like, on my, like, immediate list. But, like, it's, like, on my middle
so
list.
So I've... Oh.
And apologies, everyone. I'm just going
to
share right now.
I was just about to point this out.
Where I am right now, we're in the middle of a little bit of a thunderstorm, so we might get some real action in the background.
I did see your window turn a bright blue at one point.
Yep, we're having some lightning too, so stay safe out there.
Yeah, stay safe up there, Krista.
Back to Workin' Moms.
So you're the second person I've asked that question to, and the second person to tell me, yes, I have heard Workin' Moms. I had never heard of it. In fact, I've had a long week. I know you've had a long week as well. I wanted to pick something a little bit lighter for us this week, something maybe shorter, because frankly, we've done a lot of one-hour shows lately and a lot of mysteries. Yeah. But I wanted to get something that maybe just touches on other parts of life. And I presented a list of shows from Netflix. I don't have the list in front of me, but I wanted to make sure I had at least a few Netflix originals. And boy, they have some that I've just never heard of. And it's like, if I describe the plot to you, you might say, that does not sound real or like a good idea.
Comment below if you have like a Netflix original that's not, has not gone fully mainstream that you think we should review on Mids.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, can we talk about the fact that Netflix doesn't really promote shows very well, with the few exceptions? They promote Stranger Things so much, but...
Which is also interesting because Netflix, I don't want to get into this too much, but Netflix right now is a little bit of a jam. They're losing viewers.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. They are losing a lot of viewers. And this could be part of it, just their content.
I was going to say, and also some of their bigger shows
are ending.
Are ending.
Well, Stranger Things, Ozark, Grace and Frankie. Well, I was going to say, I don't think most people... I don't want to say that. But I don't think a lot of people realized Grace and Frankie is their longest-running show.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know that.
The thing is, you wouldn't know who would know that, and you might not even be aware of the show's existence because they don't really talk about it until now. But, I feel like they mostly promote Stranger Things, Russian Doll, maybe Ozark.
David, I want to share something about some energy that I'm bringing to today's episode.
Let's hear it.
I'm coming into tonight's episode with some mom energy. So I, on a personal level, am attending a baby shower next week. And I had to buy some baby items today as a gift. Very cute stuff. And it got me kind of in that, like, mom mode. Like, I was like, oh, this is really cute. And, you know, looking around. So I feel like this is very timely with just being very favorable to mom energy.
Okay, that's great. And we also, we had Mother's Day recently, just a couple weeks ago.
Yes. And mom, if you're listening, I love you. You're a great woman. Quick shout out, you know?
Yeah, I was not planning on doing that, but now I feel I ought to, so...
You can cut it. Just do a quick shout out to our moms.
Quick shout out to our moms. Thank you, Krista.
Quick shout out to the moms. All the moms, honestly.
So, for me, I went in blind. I had no idea what the concept was. I didn't know it was a Canadian show. I too thought it must have been a Netflix original. So when I looked at like the description of this episode, I thought, okay, this is what the description says. And maybe what we should pull that up. I thought, okay, this is what the description says. This is what I know a Netflix original's like. We're going to get a lot of basically Twitter conversations that are adapted to plots and to shows and to dialogue. That's what I expect out of a Netflix original, especially now. And I thought, okay, I think I know what's going to happen.
If you're watching with us or after or before, we are watching season 3, episode 5. It's titled Stand for Something. And the little overview is Jenny throws Zoe a blowout birthday bash and bad press ruins Kate's reputation. An overprotective Anne fears for her daughter's safety.
So what did you think about that description when you saw it?
I did not read the description before watching. I went in fully blind.
Okay, I vaguely saw some of the descriptions around this episode, but I purposely didn't read it for this one.
David, did you watch the last week on Little Recap?
Yeah, that is a good point. It does start with that, and I did watch it. I don't skip those.
I did not either, but it was incredibly confusing.
What confused you about it? And I should say, full disclosure, I actually have watched this twice. Yesterday I watched it, and I kept telling myself I'll get up and get my notebook to take notes. I never did. And I thought I absorbed it decently, but I wanted to give it one more watch with notes.
Yeah, I just thought it was there was just a lot of scenes packed into it. Like, very choppy, but it covered a lot, and I think I wasn't expecting that. So for me, I don't think it added value very much to this for me. Like, maybe a couple pieces, but overall, I could have probably skipped it and been fine.
Yeah, if you watch a show regularly and you see the previously on, you know that each point that's mentioned, whether it seems like it was a big plot or a small plot before, the fact that it's mentioned in that, you know, previously on, means it's going to be a pretty big part of the plot. I've had the experience so many times where I'll see a very minor character in the previously on, and I think, okay, maybe they're going to have a huge role in this one. But given the way that we do shows for this podcast, we don't have that context. But it's funny, after hearing you read the description and then thinking about how they presented it, they really did try to give the three core characters equal time on that, which was interesting. Yeah. And I think that implied to me, I thought, okay, I wonder how they relate to each other. Like, what is the tie-in for that? Is it just motherhood? What is it?
Yeah, so the show opens. I'm going to jump right into the plot with Anne and Kate, and they're doing a spin class or something.
Yes, yeah, spin
exercise class, and they run into Jenny. Jenny,
can I?
Jenny,
was that a Forrest Gump reference?
I've never seen Forrest Gump. So,
oh really? Okay, I've seen that's one I've seen a lot, and I notice happens to come up every time I'm checking out of a hotel room. It's just always on TBS or whatever. And I'll say, for those hotel heads out there, hotel room Forrest Gump hit different. Get the AC just cranked up all the way.
Yeah.
Windows open to, I don't know what city you're in, Durham, North Carolina, and just take all that in. Take in the commercial breaks every 2.5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, take them in.
Just take it all in. So I wanted to mention here at the spin class, one character's, I guess, who is that, Anne, is having trouble unclicking from her machine, and Kate says to her something along the lines of, just try to spin your leg until it feels like your cartilage is coming out. your tendon's about to burst. That is actually true. It's really hard to get out of those things. You have to hit it at the right angle, or else it really does feel like you're going to break your knee. That's such a real thing, and that's such an insane thing. I've done a few of those. But yeah, Krista, go on. They run into their friend.
So they run into Jenny.
Jenny, yeah.
And immediately off the bat, there's clearly like a really awkward tension because they're like, oh, hey, Jenny. Hey, Anne. Hey, Kate.
And passive-aggressive energy.
Very. Jenny says, hey, you know, I wanted to invite you to my daughter Zoe's birthday party. Mm-hmm. You and your kids. And they're like, oh, okay, great, sure. Like, you know, when is it? And she's like, it's tomorrow at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we can't go because we have school and work. And also, this is like a last-minute invite. And again, you just hear, you feel that tension. There's a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah, she mentions that some other off-screen character used that same excuse. But that seems, the fact that their children have school the next day, and it's such a short notice invite, that's not an excuse at that point. That's just a reality.
Yeah, Frankie.
Frankie, yeah.
Frankie used it. I want to go back to that.
We'll go into it, yeah.
So, Anne, we cut to Anne's home, and she's at home. She's hanging out with the family. I think it's breakfast time. She's very uptight, it feels like. She's very distant from her family, distracted. Mm-hmm. The older daughter, well, maybe about 14, is going to school. She says, hey, I'm gonna take a different route to school today. It really upsets Anne. She's upset that her daughter is on her phone,
mm-hmm.
because it's gonna die. She's on her phone. Yeah. She's reading this article about sexual assault on campus. Her husband comes in. It almost feels like he's not her husband. Like,
like a roommate.
Like a stranger. Like, hey, how's it going? He's like, hey, what do you think of my outfit for my first day at the new job? Whatever. She's like, well, it would be better if your tags were off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I knew that. And I was like, oh, it's just the epitome of a sitcom line right there.
I know it's a Canadian show, but it has, like, the worst of, like, American sitcom tropes. Well, in that way, at least. Not the whole show, but yeah.
No. Now we're switching back to Kate. She's dropping her son, Charlie, off at school. He's 3 years old, we find this out. And as she's about to pull away, another mom approaches her and is like, hey, I want to talk to you about your son. Your kid is calling my son River a girl because of his long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this weird banter.
Yeah, Kate's relieved. She doesn't see it as a problem.
Yeah, it's because they're 3 years old and, you know, whatever. But, like, she's a little, I don't know what the word is.
Kate?
A little intense.
Kate has an intense energy. And then this woman who's accusing her, or not accusing, but accosting her, she immediately takes Kate's sort of intense but, like, pithy, funny attitude and immediately says, okay, your son gets that from you. You're bad. Your son's bad. And then ties it into the big, I guess, driving character plot for Kate, which is that she does PR for, like, some sort of bad man. I guess he's, like, a poacher or is, like, associated with men's rights activism. So she ties that into that, and then Kate's trying to say it's not a big deal. It's actually good that she's doing it. And then I think that scene ends. Yeah.
Now we go to Kate in the office, and she's talking to one of her colleagues, Forrest.
Who's a much younger man, yeah.
Yeah. Also, at this point, we've heard two characters' names, and they're River and Forrest.
I did note that, yep.
And I noted, and I was just like, what? A very interesting names. Nonetheless,
I'm not as familiar with the culture up there, but that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met. I've been to Canada quite a few times. Never met a forest or a river there.
Okay, did you see a forest or a river? How are they?
Well, the river that I've seen is, you know, a very special place for me. It's quite close to my heart, so
okay,
it's good. It's raging sometimes. So Forrest is like, hey, I'm going to help you with your project. Like, I'll help do this artwork. But, like, he's also kind of like, I love you, and, like, tries to kiss her. Makes a comment about her breasts. Very weird.
Well,
I they hooked up in
I think that is it. They have some sort of relationship going.
But still kind of weird.
Well, obviously weird, but, I mean, in the parameters of the show, I'm sure it's wacky, yeah.
And ultimately, she says, sure, you can do this art for the pitch. Like, you know, what do I got to lose type thing. Now we're switching over to Jenny. So we've really been focused on Anne and Kate to this point. We're going to Jenny. She's at the birthday party, which is being held at, like, a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the thing about birthday parties for kids, she goes, the good ones are about the adults. Real weird. Real weird line. Nonetheless, so, you know, there's no kids. It's very, like, a classy affair. There's not, like, kids stuff anywhere.
Yeah, there's hors d'oeuvres going around.
Yeah. Well, then Ian shows up in this, like, mouse character, and he references a TV show that it's on.
Uh-huh.
At this point, I have no idea who Ian is. Again, Ian and Jenny's, like, their energy is very weird. It doesn't feel like they're together. It doesn't feel like they're exes. It just feels like, almost like he's, like, the nanny or something.
Yeah, I picked up on X energy, but I didn't know if Ian was the baby's father. Maybe just they date. But
right.
I picked up on that. And then, of course, the second time around in the scene previously on, Jenny's saying, hey, you know, it's okay. He just has some rage issues or something, like trying to rationalize.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that must be Ian. And then that tracks because when one of Jenny's friends talks to Ian about taking it easier on her, he gets very defensive. And since it is a Canadian show, curses, like, pretty severely. So I thought, okay,
we confirm it then.
That confirms that, yeah.
Ian brings a cake because it's a child's birthday party.
Yes.
And is like, hey, this is supposed to be a kid's birthday party. You know,
we're
so
her friends.
Bored.
And, yeah.
And you, like, the camera pans over to the baby, and she's, like, literally just, like, slumped over. Like, looks like she's bored.
Yeah.
And that kind of ends the scene, and we go back to the party in a few minutes.
That's
but
right.
We go back to Kate's PR firm, where this artwork is being presented to this client, who's this poacher men's rights activist. He loves it. It's very...
He might not be the poacher, because there are two... They're two different men she represents now. One was in the wheelchair and the other was, like, standing.
No, I think that it's just him. He was the one in the wheelchair at the end.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was going to say, we see the graphic that Forrest made, and it looks very tacky. It's like him sort of doing a Captain Morgan type stance, and... like people admiring
him, right?
Yeah, it has kind of like a early 2000s like music kind of sheen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it, though.
Loves it.
And Kate's like, yo, I want more time with this art. I want to make sure it makes sense, that there's no repercussions, you know. But he just straight up is like, we're moving forward. Like, we don't have time, and I don't want to wait, so we're just going to... Just gonna move forward.
And he praises her work on this.
Yeah.
And says, you know, thank you for standing up for men's rights, or you're gonna be known as someone who does. And she's
gonna be on the right side of this thing.
Be on the right side of this thing. And she says something along the lines of, hell, I hope not, or something like that. I sure hope not. But they think that's just like spunkiness on her part, and they think that's great. She clearly has some sort of dilemma with the work she's doing and her own values.
Can you hear it?
I can faintly hear it. I don't think it's going to really pick up.
Wow. That last lightning bolt, I, like, felt in my room.
Really?
Like, I could feel it everywhere. It was weird, yeah. Yeah, so next scene is Ian. We're back at the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, let's do the cake. Jenny's like, why? Why are you doing it now? We should do it in, like, an hour. And he's like, birthday parties for one-year-olds are, like, 1 hour total. So,
right.
You know, let's just do it. So she kind of, like, whines and goes to get the cake. And this is when her friend approaches him and is like, hey, you should really, like, ease up on her. You need to let her see the baby more. You need to work on your rage issues. And as she's saying these things, he's just like, I don't do any of that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and he even makes the point that she, Jenny, doesn't really seem to have much interest in even seeing Zoe and things like that.
It's all backwards.
Yeah, it's all backwards, yeah. He says.
So Ian confronts Jenny, and they're not even arguing, like, loudly. They're just talking, but the baby falls in the pool. Jenny runs over, saves her, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a hero. And she, like, focuses in on the fact she's a hero. She's like, oh my God, I'm a hero now.
Yeah, like, and then even, her, like, next comment's, like, about how she looked after doing that. So it's like, okay, she is self-centered.
To say the least. So Kate, we're back with Kate. She's at this vegan restaurant with her mom and her youngest child.
The restaurant, I'll point out, is called Vegan and Sarah.
Thank you for... I didn't write that down, though, so I'm glad that you did.
That's fine.
Or at least brought it back up.
Yeah, I remember they were on quite a few MySpace pages. Okay. Yeah, so they're at the vegan restaurant.
They're at the vegan restaurant.
I think the main thing to get from here is the woman who works there drops Kate as a client.
Yeah. Right. Also, we're introduced to Kate's mom, and that's an interesting relationship.
Yeah. I mean,
she's very outspoken.
It read to me as, like, a wealthy person's wealthy mom type relationship. Like, it's like, okay, that's where she gets her assertiveness from, and that's good.
So we cut back to Anne. She is at work. She's a psychiatrist at the college, presumably.
Yes.
And we see her going through, like, three or four clients who are, you know, talking with her. But she is clearly stressed and anxious, and she abruptly leaves, cancels the rest of her appointments, goes to get her nails done. The nail tech is, like, sharing her story with her.
Can I stop right there? Krista, what did you think during that? I found it really interesting how her breakdown was presented. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, it feels weird that, like, the psychiatrist is the one to have a break. I guess for me, I'm confused, like, what this scene and then the article, like, what the tie-in is.
Well,
I'm assuming there's something about the sexual assaults on campus, her role as a psychiatrist, and her clients that all has, like, some through line, but we don't get that in this episode, and I think I was looking for that more than anything in this moment.
In the previously on, there is a scene where she's talking to the young man, and she...
Yeah.
She accuses him of trying to take advantage of a woman or something, and he says, you're just like the rest of them or something. And then in this, she sort of apologizes to him when they sit down, and then he explains to her that he's been victimized by other men and bullied.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was implied, like, that it was based in homophobia, but it might have been.
That's the vibe I got, but also it wasn't clear.
It wasn't clear. But so maybe the article was about her making the wrong assumption about one of her clients. But what I mean in the way it was presented was, like, more the format. So for the audience, or for those who haven't seen it, it's done in, like, a montage, and there's weird, like, whimsical music under it.
Yeah.
Which is, like...
It's a weird scene.
Yeah, that's the type of segment... That music, I think, would be used in more of a, like, you know, middle-aged woman gets her groove back, kind of, like, uplifting, but whimsical and fun type of things. I noticed that sort of music is used a lot in British sitcoms and Canadian sitcoms, and... It's just kind of sort of the lens in which we look at the show to me feels different for American shows. I thought it was kind of weird because they are talking about very heavy content. Two of the other clients are talking about being sexually assaulted, highlighting the problems with school bureaucracy, right? Where they won't really suspend or punish an accused person while it's ongoing. So... Yeah, Krista, as you said, she gets overwhelmed, gets up, and runs out. And my first thought there was, man, I hope they're not billed for the whole, or I guess it was just the last person she ran out on. But it's like, I hope they're not billed for that. And then I had to actually ask a Canadian friend of mine if therapy is covered just on their national health system. And he said, no, it's like more of an employer-based benefit.
They might be
on like a student plan though.
Well, I was
right?
gonna say a lot of colleges provide like counseling for free, so that might be something.
Well, they say she's a psychologist,
psychiatrist.
So that makes me think it's probably more affiliated with their health services than their like
trauma
counseling.
No, but when she goes
counseling.
Out to tell the secretary she's leaving for the end of the day, it says the university's name on the wall.
No, I understand that, but like, you know, university might provide like quick services and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
With maybe like a therapist, like a non-MD. And they also, I'm sure, like, are just part of the healthcare plan that schools make you get. I'm assuming it's like that up there. And since, yeah, it just made me wonder just what it's like to be in a country that covers any of your healthcare, and how we could go further than them and provide psychological healthcare for free if it isn't up there. So I, and then my other thought, of course, was, that's really, I understand that therapists and counselors hear traumatic things all the time, but you can't
up in a session,
you know, it's and sort of making them feel like their problem is second to hers, which is just traumatic or whatnot. And it's weird, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I've seen therapists on TikTok, younger ones, or not, this isn't like a trend I've seen, but I've seen it a couple times, accuse patients of this term trauma dumping on them, and I'm like, you're
that's
a therapist.
The whole,
that's
you should be taking that and listening that, to it and helping.
That's all of it, and yeah, and it's
Wait.
Just really upsetting. And then I saw it in, sort of in this. I mean,
yeah.
That's essentially what happened, and I thought that's not good.
Yeah. And you know, like we said, one of the limitations with this podcast is we don't know what happens before. So we don't know if she's going through something or, like, what the background to this just anxiety that she is carrying with her is. So we're just really taking it as she just is, you know, anxious that day, which we know she's not. But, you know, nonetheless.
Yeah,
I
would say this and then the whole thing about the overprotectiveness with her daughter.
Yes, yeah.
And maybe under-attentiveness, just in general. We think, okay, she has a focused fear.
Something's going on. So she goes to the nail salon, like I was saying.
Yeah.
The nail tech is, you know, just talking to her. She can't even handle it, and she leaves.
Yeah, she starts, the nail tech says, you're a psychiatrist, right? And then immediately starts going into her problems, which is what...
But it wasn't... To me, like, it wasn't even her problem. It was more just, like, telling her her life story, which
yeah,
includes
yeah,
her
that,
problems.
That actually...
Like, it wasn't, like, telling me what to do. It was just like, oh, like, I did this or whatever, so...
Well, yeah, it brought that up immediately for her.
So she goes home, and... I'm sorry, so she goes home. But before that, we switch to her daughter, who's on the metro subway. Her phone dies, just like her mom said. And she misses her exit.
Yeah,
she
gets
station,
off.
Which is weird. Why don't you just get back?
Why wouldn't
on,
you just
okay.
get on the opposite train? Yeah.
Yep. And she's clearly in a neighborhood that maybe isn't super favorable to a young woman. There's some kind of grungy looking men who like walk past her and look at her. Again, this girl's like 14 years old, so it's just icky. And then this car approaches and is like, hey, let me give
it's like
you
a Camaro,
ride.
Yeah.
Like, I know you. You know me, right? It's a bad neighborhood. Like, let me give you a ride. And she starts to contemplate it, and then the scene switches.
Well, before that, just critically, he says something along the lines of, it's good that you're not acknowledging me. It's what you're supposed to do. Right.
Right. Very, coming off very manipulative. It is manipulative. I actually missed a scene. So I'm going to just quickly, you know, backtrack a minute to Kate because I missed a whole scene from her. But that's okay. So before this, Kate actually goes to, after she sees the client who drops her because of the, you know, her representing
the bad associations,
she finds out that there's this article that's been written about her.
Yes.
And who wrote the article but River's mom.
Yes, yeah.
So she goes to confront her at school when they pick up the kids. They're going back and forth. Teacher comes out with River and is like, hey, Charlie cut River's hair and this kid's hair is botched.
Yeah.
There's, you know, my question here is, why do 3-year-olds have scissors?
I don't know. I probably had scissors at that age.
Like, if you were with your, with one,
like, supervised.
Person working,
yeah, yeah.
Very supervised.
Well,
so the teacher ends up
giving...
They're
a better country than we are, so if that's what they do, then it's probably good.
I don't know about that, but teacher
you know
gives,
about that.
I just feel like 3 years old, even, like, good 3-year-olds, they just don't have enough, like, control. Like, it's not even, like, about being responsible. It's, like, you don't have enough control to, like, not cut your own finger.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, folks, when I say that Canada is a better country than the U.S., I just mean in education, since that's what we're talking about. I only mean it for that one sector. I don't mean it for...
Earlier.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely in healthcare. But that's every big industrialized country except for the U.S., so...
So the teacher gives Kate a book, which is like an anger rage resource book. It's called Pandas Mad or something.
Yeah, Panda Mad or something.
It's
weird.
It's real weird.
I thought it was a DVD at first, by the way, when she handed it to her, and I thought, oh, that's neat. Yeah, it's a book.
Mad Panda.
Mad Panda.
So you know, we go through a couple other scenes, but we're back at Kate. She's reading the book. The book is really bad.
It's, well, it's for kids. It's like...
But it's still pretty.
When,
it's still
when
pretty
you're mad,
for a kid's book.
Tell someone, but they didn't tell someone because they're a sad cad. And it's like...
Yeah.
It's like an AA rhyme scheme.
It's not good.
And the kid's like... He's like not talking.
Yeah, he's just like standing there.
And she's like, I know it's bad. So, I mean, it just like that, like her sort of empathy with a 3-year-old, but like not seeing the importance of it. And then in the previous scene, her saying, like, yeah, well, your son wanted a haircut, and he went to Charlie because you wouldn't take him.
Very weird.
It's a shared energy. They're kindred spirits. They're mother and son. But and then her mom is sitting there not really reacting to it. Or
right.
I'm talking about, like, a Chad that she knows in her life. And it's like, okay, she's just like her daughter, and it's... We're seeing 3 generations of it.
So this book is not great. She's recognizing it, and but she's also learning something from it because she gets up and she's like, I need to go, you know, confront.
Oh, sad cat.
My panda or whatever. This panda's mad.
Yeah.
And she's like, can, you know, mom, watch the kids.
Scaredy
cat,
yeah.
And this mom is scared of watching the kids because she's concerned they're going to gang up on her.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-year-old and an infant.
She says that the Charlie's mean to her or something like that.
I want to know more about Charlie.
It's funny because this is we see the most of Charlie here. And in previous scenes...
There.
Yeah, he's just standing there. And in previous scenes, when it's her dropping him off, we see him for a second, but the Rivers and Rivers' mom are on the screen a lot. So whereas with Anne and Jenny, we see them embracing their kids. We never see that with Kate. You never really see her interact with her kids other than reading the book and not enjoying it or being present in it. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, friends. Got some big thunder going on.
Write us. Make sure to email Krista if you can hear that thunder. I don't know if we'll hear it at this point.
Also, I want to do a quick poll on our Instagram when this comes out. Do you love thunder or hate thunder?
Okay.
I want to get people's, you know, their thoughts.
I enjoy it.
Powerful?
It's nice to drift off to. I have good associations. I dig thunder. Do you like thunder?
I'm actually kind of in the middle. I don't really love thunder when I'm trying to go to bed, like if I'm sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it has to be like really far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, thunder that rocks your house and in windows and stuff.
Right, that's too much for me.
Yeah.
So we're back to Anne's, and she gets home. She realizes she's forgotten lunch with her husband. He's kind of pissed that she took the day off.
He's being very passive aggressive and mean here. Yeah.
And
why'd you only get half of your hand done at the nails?
Yeah.
Which is a weird, that's like a very specific thing to notice.
Right.
Considering he's like not very attentive.
Yeah. Clearly. She says, hey, where's Alice? Like the daughter. We find out that's her name.
Yeah.
And he's like, they go back and forth about whether she had rehearsal or not, whatever.
Yeah,
she did not, ultimately. So he's like, I'm going to call the school. She's like, I'm going to go look for her. And goes outside, and as soon as she like hits, you know, the, not even the sidewalk, the pathway to the sidewalk, the car is pulling up with her.
That like Alice muscle car. Yeah.
And she freaks out.
Throws down her purse. Who the hell is this?
Like, rips, like, is ripping him out of the car.
Yeah.
And he finally manages to say, like, hey, I'm Brenna's dad. Like, Brenna's in the back, whatever.
Can I ask you, the way he said this, did you find that interesting?
I mean, I thought this scene was interesting because, I don't know. Like, I have thoughts on this because part of me is like, he kind of was like, he was a little rude about how she reacted.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a mother who's concerned about her daughter. We're like, and you're a parent too, so you should understand it. But also, like, maybe it is excessive that, like, at least your daughter's at home and
yes.
you're, like, ripping somebody out of the car. But, like, I feel like, I don't know.
She did have a right to be mad because that is, like, right. a crazy sight. So, and what I was getting at as far as how he said this line is he says, I'm Brenda's dad. And then after she lets him go, he goes, I'm Brenda's dad. And he's like swinging his arms. And not in like a wacky way, but like, I was like, wait a minute. You should understand why she reacted that way, even if it was a bit much.
Let me add one thing here.
Yeah.
When they pull in the driveway,
this is key.
He's like leaned over.
Yeah.
He's like leaning over. It almost looks like maybe he's gonna touch her.
I guess he was helping her with the seat buckle or something.
So that's what kind of causes her to like.
And you don't see Brenda. I mean, it's shot really well.
We didn't see Brenda earlier, or Brenda, or whatever this kid's name is.
It was shot the right way, right? Because we're as in the dark about it. So yeah, that dad. Yeah, I was thinking how I might have handled that. So I probably would have had my daughter in the front seat. And I would have not pulled into their driveway because that's like a frightening sight. Maybe parked across the street and then walked up. Of course, it was a coincidence that she just happened to be leaving the house.
Right.
But it doesn't look good. It never looks good going into someone else's driveway unless, you know, there's a reason. And then after being attacked like that, I would have been like, okay. Try to like calm the situation down, be like, okay, so I'm Brenda's dad,
away.
Brenda and your daughter are friends, whatever. He was like too defensive about that, I thought.
Agreed.
The daughter calls the mom a psycho, by the way.
Yeah. And that scene ends there.
Yeah.
Kate, we're on to the last scene. Kate is going back to that poacher men's rights activist. Who he introduces Kate to his other PR person, who's like a good-looking man.
Yeah.
And is like, you know, we need you as a woman so that you're on our side, but like also he can handle the other things, whatever.
She's asking him about if he feels bad about.
Yeah.
And
work in PR, you're gonna know they don't.
Yeah, and he's like more real about it. He's like, no, of course not. This and that.
Yeah.
And
to the other PR guy.
She seems to really admire this comfort in it because she has a lot of tension about that, right? And you could hear in some of the excuses that she's making when she's saying, like, it is actually a feminist act to get paid by misogynists because you're taking their money. And she doesn't seem fully convinced by her own excuses. But it seems like here, when he's straight up, like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all about the money. She seems to really admire that.
But also on the same token, she's like, thanks for telling me how to do my job.
It's kind of typical, like, rom-com, like, oh, the guy's a jerk, and she acknowledges it, but...
Whole thing ends with him saying, like, you know, like, in the next 2 days, you're gonna do this, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you're gonna have dinner. And she's like, dinner? And
dinner?
Like, dinner with me.
With me.
And then she does this awkward face thing.
Yeah.
Like, she's never been asked out. It's very uncomfortable. Very, very weird. And then the show ends. Thank God.
That's... Oh, wow. Okay. Can I just go back to a couple notes?
Yeah, please throw them out here.
Anne's husband didn't like, because even in that last scene with them, after the daughter calls the mom a psycho, it cuts to him being like, what would you do that for? I'm like,
You don't
like understand on an intellectual level why your wife reacted to that. You're
also, if you like picked him up in any scene he was in and dropped him in the Hamptons, he fits.
Okay. He's very bougie. Yeah.
Very bougie, very preppy. The whole, all
he,
of it.
And that, I want to look up that actor, cause he looked like maybe a sibling of an actor that I've seen a lot of things here.
Yes, absolutely. A very odd reaction from a father to be like, you think the father would be just as pissed because or whatever.
I have here that journalist, when she's confronting Kate in the beginning about the hair thing, she says something like, you're using such normative language. I think she meant to say gender normative, right? Like, she's normalizing the binary. Just saying normative language is kind of doing the opposite of what she's trying to do. But I thought that was maybe kind of a funny insight, if that was intentional, because I feel like journalists, or the type of journalism that she's doing, sort of ripped from the headlines as far as, like...
So what are the chances that one mother is the person who's... a journalist.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's funny, because we should say that every family in this seemed, like, very upper class, like, bougie liberal, things like that. And I thought, maybe this journalist is, like, a tastemaker or something as far as culture and things like that, because they send their child to the same school and live in the same neighborhood. So I thought... okay, this journalist woman might be, like, kind of a hypocrite. We may learn that she has some bad stuff going on, too. I thought that was interesting. The Steve Denton character, the sort of the rich bad guy, I'll note that actor was in Degrassi, because I looked him up because he kind of looked like a different actor, but he was in Degrassi and plays a rich, abusive dad.
Nice. He probably only takes those roles.
Maybe, but it is funny, because I'm curious as to how many of the cast are actually from Canada, which is my next note. Catherine Reitman created the show and also plays Kate Foster. That name immediately rung a bell for me, Reitman. Her father, Ivan Reitman, legendary director, did a lot of the Bill Murray comedies in the 80s, Stripes, Meatballs, Ghostbusters 2. And then Catherine's brother, Jason Reitman, the most recent Ghostbusters, Juno, Up in the Air, Thank You for Smoking. And I thought, okay, if she has the same sensibilities as her sibling, you know, it's going to be like a lot of comedy and kind of quick and real pithy dialogue. And I thought, that was apparent for me. But I bring that up to say... she is not Canadian. She's from Los Angeles. And I bring
a
that
USC
up.
USC grad.
What's up?
She's a USC grad.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, so she is from, it's very, you know, very much the, you know, child of a very famous person type of pathway for her.
She was also had a role on How I Met Your Mother, and I cannot remember for the life of me.
Oh, there were so many people on that show. But I'm sure if you put her up that she'd be recognizable to us, yeah.
David, what were your real thoughts of Working Moms?
You know, I think it exceeded expectations, because I thought it was a Netflix original and I know what to expect with those. So it was better than that. I thought... Okay, these are like annoying characters. Will they have enough to add to it? Because I mean, a lot of good things have annoying characters, but if something's not good and the character's annoying, then it's terrible.
Yeah, that was one of my notes. I thought this cast kind of sucked. Not because
Oh,
of
interesting.
their acting skills or anything like that. I just felt like they all embodied the same like annoying side character, and it just like it, also maybe it was just this episode because they all have very specific struggles they're going with through, but I was just not a fan.
So I kind of liked the way, because they did have the same struggles, but they also, different parts of their personality were the reason for their struggles or the symptom of their struggles. So with Kate, you have maybe so ambitious that she's not picking up on the things that really matter with her son or with
I
her
just think the
children.
sitcom lens of that,
Yeah.
I think that's what like ruined these characters for me.
Okay,
It's like in
they're
a different
tropey.
space, they might have been significantly better characters, but those just that piece threw me.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's presented in a shallow way. I mean, just going with the other two, Kate, you have the sort of
She grew on me though by
paranoid
the
mom,
end.
or not Kate.
Kind of.
Yeah, Kate, I liked. Anne, I mean, with the more sort of paranoia, suburban fear, slash bad relationship. We'll mention Kate was a single mom. Anne is in a marriage. And then Jenny is separated, and then her sort of trait being like narcissistic. I thought if you put all these together, they do sort of encapsulate the sort of anxieties associated with suburban living, nuclear families, right? You see one nuclear family, one divorced, broken, quote unquote broken family, possibly two, or maybe Kate planned on being a single mother, which would be sort of a commentary on that
Yeah.
pathway, or maybe not. I mean, that maybe that's something that was debatable. I'll note
Dude.
too, this series or this show was 6 seasons long, I think. Is that right?
They just
Did they just finish?
the sixth season just began airing in January of 2022, so
Okay, so they're on
it's still
season
going.
six, so.
They're on season
And
six.
we watched a season three episode, so I wonder how much characterization
Right.
happened to this point, because that seems like very late, yeah.
David, I want to mention one thing. One thing I found while reading about this show a little bit is that the show really follows four moms, but we don't even get introduced to one of them.
Right, okay,
Which is Frankie, which is what we talked about in the beginning.
Frankie's
Jenny says,
River's
"Oh,
mom,
Frankie
right?
gave me that."
Is Frankie not River's mom?
Well, I don't think so.
Who, wait a minute, can you go back and what was the thing about the Frankie reference here? Oh, the
She.
same excuse thing, right, with the
Yeah.
party. Oh, you're right. So yeah, we never even see
We don't
Frankie
even
in this.
meet one of the main characters for this
Yeah.
episode. David, do you want to do a quick heat thermometer?
Sure.
We'll go with you first.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah, one,
One,
two,
two, three,
three,
67.
40.
Okay.
Whoa!
Yeah, I feel like this has been happening lately where you underestimate how much I
How much you
like
like
some of
it?
these.
Okay.
And I'll say, yeah, I was thinking about going like in the early 50s to say, oh, I liked it maybe a little more than I disliked it. But having watched this twice, I kind of appreciated it. And I'll say, it's a curve. I'm grading on a curve because I was thinking about shows I might compare this to, or, well, here's how I thought about it. I don't know what shows are on regular TV right now. I don't know what live action shows Fox has. I don't know what the CBS comedies are like. I know Modern Family recently ended on ABC. I guess maybe they still have, yeah, they have maybe some of the more notable shows. But I thought if you were to put this episode on against some random comedy, I would probably prefer this episode. I know that's silly because I haven't seen the other thing, but I
Which
have a
is
really
based
good
on.
sense of it. So I gave it a little boost because of that. Second time around, I sort of picked up on the cadence of the show a little bit more, and I appreciated it. I don't know if it's a good show,
But I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, though. You don't
but
know, for
yeah,
the most part.
I would be willing to maybe watch another one because someone asked me if I think it's worth watching. They're trying to watch everything. They're in quarantine right now. And I said, yeah, I would recommend it. So,
all right.
That's my grade for it. It's a recommend. But I have no idea if it's good or not.
Do you want to do mine?
So write Krista if you're mad at me about that.
Yeah, for sure. Let's send it to our email. That will be the
show. Let's do yours. No, just her personal email. I think that even better. let's do yours.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1.
32.
28.
Okay. Yeah. So, see, I'm on the money.
Honestly, I probably would have had it at like a 35, but the way you graded yours on the curve made me drop mine.
Wow.
I would rather watch Modern Family or a lot of other sitcoms over this. But I will say, I actually still do want to watch like the first few episodes of the show.
Yeah, I would like to.
I don't know. My heat thermometer rating is purely of this episode and not indicative of the show. I would still give the show a chance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, anyone who listens to us, right? You should know that, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, this isn't something I would never not watch. But if I watched two episodes of it and I wasn't feeling it, I wouldn't force myself to watch it, is where I'm at. So
There should be a name for that specific type of reaction, because I feel like that definitely applies for some of the shows.
It's a mid's reaction.
It's a mid's reaction about...
It's mids. This is a mid.
Yeah, this whole podcast is mids. So.
Anything else that we feel... Anything else you want to share before we maybe talk about what we're going to do next?
Hey,
if you're listening and you like our podcast, please subscribe to us. Leave us a review.
Yeah.
Give us, you know, 5 stars if you're into it. 4 if you think
you're into podcasts and stuff. 3 if it's mid. 2 if it's
not. 5 if it's mid, though, also. Yeah.
And you should definitely base it on this episode, not the whole show.
Yeah.
So I did have one note.
Oh.
When the handsome guy, PR guy at the end, does that quip about, do you have dinner tomorrow? What dinner? The one with me. Has anyone ever used that sort of like tricky, cutesy pickup line with you? Or alternatively, have you witnessed it happen to someone else?
You know, I feel like I did have a really, yes. I did have a man hit on me at the bar a couple months ago. And he had some sort of line like that. Mm. It made me laugh. That's it.
Yeah. It didn't have that sort of effect that it has on Kate Foster, where she's like, wow.
No, that stuff, I mean, you know, my partner makes jokes like that, and I just roll my eyes and laugh. Just that's my, like, reaction to that, whether it was somebody who... I was at a bar, single, and they did that, or if I was in a 40-year marriage and they said it, my reaction was going to be the same.
Sure.
But, like, you know, like, guys, if that's what's working for you, like, hustle. I feel like, on a real note, just making girls laugh is what you got to do, so go with the corny joke over the weird, rude...
Yeah. Well, did you find that rude when he says... this line?
Not the actual asking out thing. Like, it was fine. I mean, I don't think it was, like, rude. I mean, she could have easily been like, no, that's not happening. Bye.
Okay.
I don't think that was quote-unquote... I wouldn't classify that as rude.
I will admit something.
Have you ever used it, David?
Well, here's the thing. When I was much younger, I was really feeling myself, and the opportunity... opened where I could use that type of line, and I chose not to, because it was a situation where it was someone who was providing service for me at a like a restaurant.
So it was more of a situation,
not a waitress situation. It was like picking up the food, and there was a little bit of a vibe. And the opportunity came up for me to say, or for the exchange to be like, okay, is there anything else? Yeah, your number. And I chose not to, because it's not nice to do that sort of thing to someone while they're working. You know, they're just trying to get through their day. Imagine
people
doing that to you.
I don't disagree with
So, and then I just, even in real time, I'm like, there was not that much of a vibe. Like, I know I'm happy with myself right now, but
yeah,
that we're not going to do that. Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you're listening and, you know, please feel free to send us your favorite appropriate pickup line. Maybe we'll read some off in the fan club. Do a quick little mini episode reading some of those off. See if David laughs.
Okay, yeah.
But only appropriate, please. Thank you.
I don't care.
Send the inappropriate ones to David on Twitter.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
What's coming up? What's
you have the, any other? Oh. Let's see.
I don't have any more comments.
Yeah, I guess I hit every one of my notes. Yeah. I was, there is one thing. I don't remember when this happens in the show, but there's a guy that says, "Damn balls."
Oh my, yeah, that dude who shot a rhino. Don't hunt rhinos.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, you
public
can't...
Public service announcement.
He was saying he felt bad for Kate because you can't even stand up for equal rights anymore without someone trying to lob off your damn balls. That was just an insane line delivery, and I thought it really stood...
How fast do you think a rhino can get?
How 60 miles per hour.
34.
Yeah, they're so big. There's no way they can get over 35, so
Which
that's
one,
cool.
What do you think a hippopotamus does?
What do I think a hippopotamus does? Probably eats.
Sorry. Hippopotamus. It's a hard word to spell.
Yeah, it's a
How
tough
fast
one.
Do you think they go?
Hippopotamus. How fast? Oh, I don't know, man. Oh, they're, like, kind of bulbous, so maybe, like, 12 miles per hour.
Look at this picture of a hippopotamus.
Let's see it.
Sad. All right, so what are we watching next? Okay.
All right, can folks. I'm going to share screen.
Share screen.
Yes. Folks at home, the host disabled participant screen sharing.
We should watch Kim Possible.
We should watch those progressive auto insurance. Not progressive. Remember that auto e-surance where it was like a cartoon and it looked like Kim Possible?
Kim Possible.
But they had to take those off the air because people were drawing inappropriate pictures of the girl. So that's why they stopped putting those in their commercials.
There used to be this bomb.
Aaron Esurance. Shout out.
There used to be this super fun Disney Channel game.
Yeah.
That was Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Project 626. All right, folks, we're spinning the wheel. Spinning now. Today's show is... Oh, this could be interesting.
What is it? I don't even know.
So 30 for 30, ESPN has these documentaries about different sports things, different events from...
Is it on the Buffalo?
From there. But yeah, I like these documentaries. I think...
Yeah, let's do it.
The typical one's only like an hour long. And it's from when ESPN first aired to now. So it focuses on those years. So... Yeah, I think this could be fun. Are you?
Yeah, well,
you
into it? I'm down for it. We'll find a good episode.
Yeah, I think they are on Disney Plus.
Cool.
In the United States, well, everywhere. So yeah, folks, if you're into it, check out Working Moms, or Working Mums maybe. And, well, that's all I got to say. Krista, any closing thoughts?
No, that's it. Thank you.
We'll see you next
Just
week.
Just subscribe. See you next week.
30 for
Stay
30.
Safe.
One more thing. This show we watched could have been called Don't
Stay
Trust...
Stay Home Dads.
Worthless Dads. It could have been called Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 and the Bee is Beaver, which is Canada's national... animal, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. See you later, folks. Bye.